This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society and News for Young People. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis on Holy Thursday called on the faithful to pray for the joy of priests. The Pope made the call in the prepared text of his homily read by Cardinal Domenico Calgagno during the Chrism Mass in St. Peter's Basilica. The Pope, who did not attend the morning Mass due to his ongoing convalescence, had asked the President Emeritus of the Administration of the Patrimony of the Apostolic See to preside over the liturgy, which provides a time for the faithful to pray for and support their priests. Reflecting on the priesthood, the Pope said each priest has a word to fulfill. Each of us has a long-standing relationship with the Word of God. We put it at the service of others only when the Bible remains our first home, the Pope said. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
For us priests, the Jubilee year represents a specific summons to a new beginning on our path of conversion. Pope Francis stressed this in his homily on Holy Thursday morning during the Chrism Mass in St. Peter's Basilica. Cardinal Domenico Calcagno was chosen by the Pope as his delegate to preside over the Mass and read those present the Holy Father's homily. In that text, the Pope underscored that we priests have our own history on Holy Thursday when we renew the promises we made at our ordination. As pilgrims of hope, he said, we are called to leave clericalism behind and to become heralds of hope. Pope Francis went on to highlight that the shepherd who loves his people does not seek consensus and approval at any cost. Yet the fidelity of love, he said, changes hearts. Thus he encouraged, we are gathered here, dear brothers, to make our own and to repeat that amen. The Lord's passion, death, and resurrection, he emphasized, are the soil that solidly sustains the church and within her, our priestly ministry. Each priest, the Pope noted, has a long-standing relationship with the Word of God. Within it, he marveled, each of us has some pages that touch us more than others. Whenever we read that page, God still calls us. If only we cherish it and do not allow our love to grow old, he urged, take care to never grow discouraged, for it is all God's work. With this in mind, he gave some homework. Believe that God did not make a mistake with me. God never makes mistakes. This, the Holy Father said, is God's work, not ours. The Lord, Pope Francis reminded, opens our eyes and lifts our burdens from our shoulders. The Holy Father concluded by inviting all members of the faithful as people of hope to pray today for the joy of priests. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubav.
During the Chrism Mass, Cardinal Calgagno blessed the oil of the sick, the oil of catechumens, and the chrism oil, which will be used in the Diocese of Rome throughout the coming year. Also in St. Peter's Basilica on Holy Thursday evening as we go on air, Cardinal Mauro Gambetti, the Archpriest of the Vatican Basilica, is presiding over Holy Mass of the Lord's Supper. The Mass commemorates the Last Supper of Jesus with his apostles, during which he instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. On Good Friday afternoon, April the 18th, Cardinal Claudio Guggerotti, Prefect of the Dicastery for Eastern Churches, will lead the liturgy of the Passion of Our Lord in St. Peter's Basilica. On Good Friday evening, the Vicar General of Rome, Cardinal Baldassare Reina, will preside over the Via Crucis or the Stations of the Cross at the Colosseum with meditations written by Pope Francis. For the Via Crucis liturgy, the frequency for our listeners on shortwave radio in Africa is 13830 kHz with a live English language commentary beginning at 1905 GMT or 2105 local time in Rome. Once more, the frequency is 13830 kHz. In Nigeria, the Catholic Archbishop of Abuja, Most Reverend Ignatius Kaigama, in his homily during Chrism Mass, called on the faithful to pray for the nation's healing. Archbishop Kaigama also called on priests to embrace synodality, saying it fosters unity in the church. Delphine Asu sent us this report.
The Chrism Mass took place at Our Lady Queen of Nigeria Pro Cathedral, Garki, Abuja. In his homily, Archbishop Kaigama decried the numerous challenges in the country, especially the incessant kidnappings and killings.
We too need healing. Healing for us, priests. Healing for you lay people. Healing for our world. Especially healing of the memory. Priests too are being haunted and being wounded. And they need healing. How many priests have been caught and kept in the bush for so long under very horrible conditions, and many other Nigerians who are in similar situations? We need healing too as a nation from the festering wounds inflicted by politics and harsh economic realities that do not only result in crimes and violence, but subsequently to unsound minds of our dear young people.
He then encouraged the priests in the archdiocese to implement synodality, which will foster unity in the church.
Abuja Archdiocese has a total of 368 priests. Then there are 215 who are incardinated. Then we have 153 priests who are religious and other diocesan priests assigned to work within our jurisdiction. The call for a more synodal church by Pope Francis will be a good therapy for me. It's a good therapy for our sometimes wounded pastoral situations. Priests, for instance, who are living in the same house should practice the spirit of synodality. They pray together, they eat together, they adore Jesus together in the Blessed Sacrament. We, the priests, have a monthly recollection every month on the last Thursday of the month. That is the best period for me, when I see the priest and I together kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament for 1 hour. For me, it brings energy, renewal. Oh, it's so wonderful. So I have always encouraged my priests, whatever you are doing, drop it. Come to this adoration.
In Abuja, Nigeria. Delphine Asu reporting.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Nigeria and South Africa have signed an accord to boost cooperation in mining, Nigeria's mines minister said on Thursday. Commenting on the Memorandum of Understanding, Henry Dele Alake said the two countries will partner on mining, including geological mapping using drones, share mineral data, and jointly explore agro and energy minerals in Nigeria. The West African nation is seeking to revamp a mining sector that has long been underdeveloped, contributing less than 1% to its gross domestic product. South Africa's established mining expertise makes it a key partner in this effort, Mr. Alake said. Besides oil, Nigeria is also rich in gold, limestone, lithium, iron ore and zinc. In Sudan, a fire destroyed over 50 houses in a camp for displaced people in the country's western Darfur region, an aid group said on Thursday. Footage that was captured by the General Coordination for Displaced Persons and Refugees in Darfur showed the fire that happened on Tuesday in a Mukjar camp. There were no reports of casualties, and it wasn't clear what caused the fire that worsened the living conditions of the displaced people. The United Nations Humanitarian Agency reported this week that more than 300 civilians were killed in 2 days of intense fighting in the Darfur region, which has witnessed increased violence since the war in Sudan broke out 2 years ago between the army and the rival paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, or RSF. Reports say the RSF carried out the recent attacks after the Sudanese military late last month regained control over the capital Khartoum, a major symbolic victory in the war. And Egypt's revenue from the Suez Canal plunged by almost two-thirds last year, officials said on Wednesday, attributing the sharp drop to regional tensions and wars in the Middle East that have impacted traffic through the key waterway. The Suez Canal Authority, which runs the waterway, said the canal generated an annual revenue of $3,991,000,000 in 2024, down from a historic high of $10.25 billion in 2023, according to a statement posted on its Facebook page. The canal is a major source of foreign currency for the government of Egypt, with about 10% of world trade flowing through the waterway in recent years. Canal traffic has been significantly disrupted after Yemen's Iran-backed Houthi rebels started to threaten maritime trade and targeting vessels heading to Israel through the Suez Canal to pressure Israel to stop the war in Gaza. The canal provides the shortest sea route between Europe and Asia, cutting down travel time and fuel consumption. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Culture and Society, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kanyan Tagodufri Kampamba. Last week on this program, I talked to Zambian-born Mr. Frank Igoma, who lives in the United Kingdom and was in Rome to make his pilgrimage to the holy sites and walk through the holy door of the Basilica of St. Peter's at the Vatican. Today, Mr. Goma takes us through his spiritual life and what the Holy Year and the pilgrimage to Rome mean in his life. You decided to take a leap from the UK in this Holy Year to come to Rome. What made you decide to come and celebrate this Jubilee here?
Well, initially how it came about was that my wife and I got traveling, we visit a lot of churches. Like last year we went to Brussels, we were taking pictures of all the different churches that Catholic churches there. And I shared those pictures on our group chat, where Charles is. He's part of the group. Mm-hmm. And he sort of likes also visiting churches, and he's the one who initially put the idea forward, and from then we sort of started talking about how we could make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be a good opportunity for me to come and learn more about Catholicism as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been to Rome before, but aside from maybe going to the Vatican Museum and St. Paul's Basilica, I never visited the other churches before, never went inside. So since we've been here, we've been to John Lateran, St. Paul Outside the Wall, St. Maggiore, and the churches are really amazing. And they're quite moving, sort of going inside. It's quite an experience.
Rome has got four major basilicas.
Yeah.
Some of which you've mentioned, St. Paul's Outside the Walls, Mary Major, St. John Lateran, which is the Pope's Cathedral, and the St. Peter's Basilica.
Yeah.
How many have you visited so far?
The first one we went to was San Maggiore. Yesterday we went to John Lateran. Then in the afternoon we went to St. Paul's Outside the Wall. This afternoon, we're going to go into St. Peter's Basilica.
Yeah. Now, this year, the Pope wanted to dedicate it to hope. It's a Jubilee of hope. How does that resonate with your life, especially as a Christian?
Obviously, it's hope, obviously, for humanity because of everything that's going on around the world. So people need to have hope of, something else, I think. That Yeah, I think it's always good to have hope in the world.
Abandoning ourselves
for there to peace, maybe, because there's a lot of bad things that are happening, especially. There's still all the wars in Ukraine and Russia, and in the Middle East there's Israel, and all the people that are dying there, you know, because sometimes you don't know what to do, because people are like dying for no reason at all, you know, and you feel helpless in a way.
Now, the Jubilee comes with certain things to be done by individuals that are experiencing this special year. One of the things is about almsgiving, penance, and you know it all.
Yeah.
How are you living your Christian life in line with the what comes with the Jubilee? Let's say for charitable works.
Obviously, I'll try and be helpful to people where I can. If I can help somebody, I'll do it. Mm. You know, if somebody comes to me and they need help, if I'm able to help them, I will.
You're open, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm that type of person anyway.
Now, you said one of the many things, objectives of your visit this time is the Holy Door, which you are doing this afternoon. How are you prepared for that? And what does it mean to you to go through the Holy Door?
I suppose it's supposed to be a rebirth of sorts, you know, who go in and try and say a few prayers for the family, you know, or the children, brothers and sisters, and all the friends, you know, and everywhere else, all the people who are in trouble, people suffering from the wars in Ukraine, Russia, the Middle East, maybe the Sudan, you know.
Congo.
Yeah. The Congo, everywhere, just all we can do is pray, hope that things get better for all the people who are in torment. Mm.
Now, this pilgrimage you're making, obviously, you're not doing it for yourself alone. You want to gather a certain experience.
Yeah.
What are you taking away from this pilgrimage in Rome? What impressions are you taking away with you about the Jubilee here?
My impression to see so many other pilgrims is that Catholicism is still alive, you know, and I'll have the mementos to take with me, because it's been an experience, and experiences are what life's about, not material things that you should, they sort of live with you.
Now, the Holy Father had wanted to live this experience of the whole year to the full, but then he fell sick.
Oh, yeah.
And he thanks the church for having prayed for him, for still continuing to pray for him. What thoughts do you have about the Holy Father, his health, and the church?
Yeah, as we do every Sunday, we pray for him that his health will improve, and that he can recover enough to sort of carry on with his duties and his ministry. And wish him all the best. And we're happy that he can recover enough to sort of carry on with his duties and his ministry. And wish him all the best. And we're happy that he seems to be making a good... he's recovered somewhat from... how far he got really sick, but now I think he has gotten a little bit better, which is good news.
I'd just like you to get back to the UK now, and we're meeting Ashley. Is it Ashley?
Oh, my son.
Yes.
Well, children...
You're talking about your experience in Rome. How would you talk to him? Telling him about this journey, this pilgrimage you have made. In the hope that he also wants to make the pilgrimage.
Or tell him about try and explain the history, and the history, and show him the pictures of all the churches. Because the churches, you can see that a lot of people of faith have put in a lot of work in them, you know. They're really sort of meticulous, they're sort of amazing. And it's good to see that people can do produce such works, and these churches are like a few hundred years old, and it's astounding and amazing that they did all this.
Is there anything you'd like to say that may not have come in our conversation. Anything about yourself, about the family, about the church, about the spirituality that you are living now as a person in pension, about Madame at home, about the pilgrimage you have made here, anything? And then message to your people.
My message is that it's just to not let things get you down in life. That life is, it's always up and down. You know, there's good times and bad times. And that you just need to always, when you have issues, just pray, you know. Tell God your issues, explain to him. And you always feel better if you, whatever sort of confronts you in life, you should always just, you know, sit down and explain and ask for help. That has always helped me whenever I've had any problems at work or family, you know. Just sit down and pray every day when you wake up and before you go to bed.
Now, you left your wife alone back home.
No, she's fine.
She's fine.
Yeah.
What message do you have for her concerning your trip here? She should have come. Why didn't she come?
Well, I've been sending her the pictures.
Okay.
So myself and her will come back again, and I'll take her around the places that I've been to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Concerning your trip here, she should have come. Why didn't she come?
Well, I've been sending her the pictures.
Okay.
So myself and her will come back again, and I'll take her around the places that I've been to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, especially for accepting to talk to me at a very short time. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And that was Zambian-born pilgrim of the Jubilee Year of Hope, Frank Goma from the United Kingdom, speaking to me on the sidelines of his pilgrimage to the Holy Door at the Basilica of St. Peter's at the Vatican and the holy places of Rome. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Culture and Society. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
Now, news for young people.
Come up on the other piece, open wide the door for everyone.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. Young people from across the globe were due to end their annual youth forum at the UN headquarters in New York on Thursday, convened by the UN's Economic and Social Council, or ECOSOC, and organized by various UN departments. The forum provides a platform for young people to meaningfully engage in a dialogue with UN member states and UN system entities. Speaking during the opening session on Tuesday, the president of ECOSOC, Bob Ray, who is also Canada's permanent representative, said the urgency of shaping a more sustainable, inclusive and just future for all has never been clearer. You are today's leaders. We cannot wait for tomorrow. We need you to start participating and taking charge today, Mr. Ray told the youth in attendance. Let us listen to some of what he said.
This year's forum is being held under the theme of Youth at the Forefront, Leveraging Science and Social Inclusion for Sustainable Development. The thematic focus of the forum, which is on health, gender, equality, decent work, life below water, and partnerships for the goals, is as critical as ever. We all know that the world now stands at the crossroads of multiple crises, from ongoing conflicts and the escalating effects of climate change to widespread poverty, inequalities, and hunger. The urgency of shaping a more sustainable, inclusive, and just future for all has never been clearer. So I say to all of you here who are young, and I suspect that together with the president, we're a couple of the oldest people in the room, but I say to all of you that you are not only the leaders of tomorrow. Many times when we speak to young people, you will hear speakers say you are tomorrow's leaders. Well, From my perspective, you are not tomorrow's leaders. You are today's leaders. We can't wait for tomorrow. We need you to start participating and taking charge today. And I say this because the world's most pressing problems are not abstract or distant. They are within reach, and they rely on the creative and the innovative ideas that intergenerational dialogue can bring forward every single day. It's not about passing the torch to one from one generation to the next. It's about a conversation between all generations in which we need young people to be at the table and really being present in the conversation and in the discussion. We all know that we have a challenge to face. In the United Nations family, we speak often about the SDGs, and sometimes people outside these halls say, "What are the SDGs?" And what I say in response to that question is, the Sustainable Development Goals are neither abstract or distant, and they are not theoretical. They are simply an expression of the common decency of humanity. That's what the SDGs are. When we talk about food and water, when we talk about peace and equality, when we talk about the need to show respect and dignity to everyone, wherever they may come from, whatever may be their race, their religion, or their nationality, that is what the SDGs are. And we have to recognize that we are still not meeting the targets that we need.
That was the president of ECOSOC, Bob Rae, who is also the ambassador and permanent representative of Canada to the United Nations in New York. And that's all for this edition of News for Young People. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program, at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our future development and the economy. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.